Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
All it'll cost you is the bolt?
I thought you didn't want the bolt.
I don't want the bolt. Now I need the bolt. If war with Cronus is coming, I'd like to be prepared. Not messing around here, kid. This only ends one way. The only question is how difficult you make it.
No.
Give me the bag. Nice pearl?
I accept your offer.
Great.
Your first offer. We're gonna go get your helm. And when I get back, you're gonna let my mom go.
Okay, hang on, kid.
Grover, now! Hold fast, Mom.
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Percy Jackson Prophecy. It's a podcast dedicated to the Percy Jackson show on Disney Plus, so let's hold fast and brave the storm. Hello, everybody, and I am one of your hosts, Reese.
That's right, and I'm your other host, Mary Larson. For those of you who are new, welcome. We are in the penultimate episode of covering Percy Jackson on Disney Plus. We are so excited. This is the second
to last episode of season one. We're hoping they could start out season two soon.
I know. But
we shouldn't get our hopes up because that science can cause jinxing.
Yeah, but we're going to cross our fingers. I have very good feelings about this. Usually by now, a series might have announced when the second season is coming out, but we're holding fast. We're braving the storm. Right, buddy?
Yep. We also want to remind our listeners that on this podcast show, this is spoiler free. So we just wanted to throw it out there to anyone who is new to this podcast that if you think that this podcast is spoiler free,
it's safe for you, right? So Reese has read the books, right, buddy?
But
I haven't.
So if you know someone or if you yourself haven't read the books, this is a safe podcast I'd listen to.
That's right. All right, let's get into the show. Kicking things off, Reese, what details can you tell me about this episode?
The title of this episode was We Find Out the Truth. Sort of.
And what's a mini recap?
So a mini recap of this episode is like our heroes' journey across the underworld and bargain for their safety with the god of the dead.
Dun dun dun. Not great, right? This was such an epic episode. We've been in different environments, whether it is a school or an apartment or a small building or even camp, which can seem big. But when we were placed here in the underworld, it was a completely different environment, different sounds, different visual things that we were able to see. You and I complimented the visual nature of this episode so much. They really built out the underworld into this gorgeous place. Reminded you said, of Hollow Earth, right?
Uh-huh.
What's like, Hollow Earth?
In the Godzilla in the Godzilla vs. Kong movie, for those who haven't seen it before, it is Hollow Earth is the center of the world, but not like lava or anything you know of. It's the home of all the Titans, but we'll skip that part. It looks like it.
It looked like it's this. It was Hollow vast.
Earth, Hollow Earth had a once bottom, like one floor on the bottom and the other at the top, and the underworld had the same thing.
Yes.
And I also noticed that at Hades Palace, it is just made of plain obsidian.
What's obsidian?
Obsidian, for those who play Minecraft, you know what that is.
I don't play Minecraft.
I know. I was telling those for the people who play. And obsidian is a kind of rock that's was welded together by diamond and just lava. If you craft that together, it'll make a dark, shining rock, kind of mineral that shines like a diamond but is black.
Whoa. So that's what you got to see a lot of when it was in the underworld. And I agree with you, Reese. The sky looked like it was its own firm ground. There was firm ground on the bottom, but the sky also had that. And I agree. It looked a lot like we've been watching a lot of Godzilla versus Kong, or not Godzilla versus Kong. Yeah.
Godzilla. So, yeah. This is Godzilla trilogy.
Okay. Yeah. It did remind me of Hollow Earth. All right. So we've got some details to share,
right? So next up, it's time for my dad. And if you guys don't know my dad, you better listen to the other podcast, because he is right up next with my mom on the host of other shows like Game of Thrones and Harry Potter, House of the Dragon, and Bridgerton, and all others on Mary and Blake Media. And you could find all of this and more at maryandblake.com. Now it's time for Dad's Tea Deals. Take it away.
Thank you, Reese. It's time for my favorite part of this podcast. It's the one where I'm featured. It's because I'm awesome. I know. Dad's details. Here we go.
Your dad's like Hades.
No.
This episode was directed by Anders Engström. You should know that name by now, because this gentleman directed episode 103 and 104, and was written by a guy named Andrew Miller, who has other shows or TV films that he's famous for, including the show Backstroke and the TV film Tremors as well. So Tremors is actually a TV film that's after that Tremors series that Mary, you and I grew up with. Although I doubt you watched that.
I did not watch it.
No, I don't think you would have. Tremors is a great movie, by
okay.
the way. It's fantastic.
I'll take your word for it. Sure.
So I always love doing Dad's Details, yes, because of the directors and the writers and all the little things that go into the show. But one of my favorite things to do is talk about what makes a television show or a movie, what it is, how they craft it, why they craft it. And what I want to talk about today is something called tension, right? Well, first of all, let's actually step back a little bit. The show first did something that is a Mary and Blake Media commandment, which Mary, we know, is very important to what we do here. That probably the most important Mary and Blake commandment is bookending. Once again, the show has done some bookending here with Sally and Hades. And they talk about Sally's line was, "It's this is going to happen. It's just a question of how difficult you make it." And Hades is the one that says it again, albeit in a little bit of a different form. But bookending here is important because it helps provide tension to what the show is trying to accomplish, right? It's putting Percy in a position where he has to hear the same words as Mother heard, but in a different context, right? And then also, the tension is really important because tension is, think of it like this. When you pull on a rope and you pull it really tight, right? That is tension, right? Eventually, that tension gets too tight and it snaps, right? Mm-hmm. So what a writer has to do is, or the director, the writer and the director have to provide enough tension so that when you're watching it, it feels like, oh man, this is really important. I feel really tense. I feel really nervous. But they don't want to do it too much because it'll break. It'll break the story. And you don't want that. So you have to have a release. So what my favorite part about the tension in this episode is the Fields of Asphodel. Because we get a chance to learn something about Annabeth that we didn't know. Mm-hmm. She regrets something. But we don't know what that is yet. And the show made a really interesting choice in showing us that she has this regret without telling us that she has this regret. Intention's really important because when you go into any scene, you want to make sure that there's some sort of conflict, right? There's always something that is happening that is pushing your characters forward. And in this case, Annabeth can only go so far without recognition of her regret. And it's really important that we had this. And it's really important that we get a chance to see that because mm-hmm. in this scene, anything can happen. Annabeth could die. Percy could die. Grover could say, "What's your regret?" and lose control of himself. Maybe he has one. Maybe he has some sort of regret. And it's, you know what? It's genuinely scary. Genuinely scary for both the visuals and what they're trying to show you as well. That was my favorite part of this episode.
Awesome.
Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome.
Thank you so very much for sharing it.
No
we appreciate
problem.
You so much.
It is my pleasure.
Oh, we know. So we want to thank all of those of you who've taken the time to write us a written review in your podcast app. Written reviews help newcomers find the show and get to know what it's about. And as I said, and you just said recently, but we've talked about it in the past, Reese, our podcast is one of the few spoiler-free Percy Jackson podcasts out there. So it's a safe podcast to share with just show watchers, or if someone in your family, like Reese, has read the stories and knows all the good stuff, but you want to make sure you can listen to it around other people, it is a safe one for that. So if you haven't written a review yet, we would love for you to write us one, particularly in Apple Podcasts. No matter where you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts is the easiest way for people to find us. So you can head on over there and leave us a couple of sentences. We really appreciate it. So this week, we want to thank our newest review who comes from Sugipop, S-U-G-I-O-P. So hopefully I pronounced that correctly for your username. What did the person write, Reese?
And they titled it Larson Family Gold.
They did. Larson Family Gold. This person wrote in saying, "I'm a longtime fan, a Nerd Clan member of Mary and Blake Media podcasts, beginning with Outlander, loving the Potterverse, and many of their other podcasts. I enjoy their approach so much that I have watched a few series I might not have chosen just because they were following them. When I heard Mary was co-hosting a new podcast on the Percy Jackson series with her son, I resubscribed to Disney to watch with them. 10-year-old Reese is doing an outstanding job co-hosting and sharing his extensive knowledge of the books, the series, and Greek mythology. I've recommended this podcast to my daughter because I think he's a great role model for my grandsons who are 6 and 8. Keep it up, Larson family. Looking at you too, Felicity," they write in, and Disney take notice. Thank you so much for this kind review. What do you think of that review, buddy?
That was good.
That was very, very kind. And, you know, really, also, people are noticing your extensive knowledge of Greek mythology, which we're going to talk a lot about that in this episode, as many Greek myths were shown in this episode. But before we do that, buddy, what time is it for?
It's time for our Trident rating.
And what is our Trident rating?
So, Trident rating is where we rate each episode on a scale of 1 to 5. You might have seen my mom and dad do this on their other podcasts for the same kind of way. And, for instance, 1 being the absolute worst, being tied in a bed at Procrustes' waterbed palace forever and dying in the worst play. And 5 being the best, you have defeated Hades and you've teleported out of the underworld alive. Good. So what's your Trident score, Mom?
I'm giving this episode a 4.9. You know, I'm just going to give it a 5. I'm giving it a 5. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And I know that I'm going to enjoy the next episode even more so. But I got to tell you, I enjoyed being in the underworld. I enjoyed the flashbacks. So big, whopping 5. How about you, Reese? What is your Trident rating for this episode?
I give it a 4.9.
Nice. Very high. Very high episode. Our GBGs. Our goods. Our bads. And our greats for the episode. My good for this episode was Sally Jackson's burnt offering, as I too would love me some chocolate fudge in a hot fudge sundae. And so I think that that's really neat. Of course, we got to see the campers burn food as offerings to get attention from the gods. We got to see Percy, of course, try to do this when he was trying to communicate with his dad. So I really liked that Sally, a mother of a demigod, was able to do this to communicate with Poseidon. I think that's a really neat thing that they were able to portray. My bad in this episode is, once again, it was a tad dark. So if you saw this on a screen that wasn't great with clarity, or if you watched it at all during the daytime, some of the scenes in the underworld were a little difficult to watch. And it's tough because sometimes I enjoy that. I think it really helps envelop us into the world.
And intention.
It's intentional. But on the flip side, if you're watching it and there's glare, it takes you out because you can't see what's going on. So that's one of the difficulties that I think I've had multiple times in this series. And if we watch it downstairs with the lights off or at night, not a problem. My great is I loved this characterization of Hades. I was not expecting to enjoy Hades. I've been kind of nervous about seeing him. And I think that he was a really fun guy. I loved how they did it. Reese, what's your GBG?
So my good is how, like you, Mom, how Hades was portrayed. I liked the way he walked. I liked the way he looked and spoke. He just came off charming. He came off like a god. He came off like he didn't care if he ruled the entire world. He didn't care. He didn't even know the entire weight of the underworld was on his shoulders. He was just...
carefree.
He was just like... And when he said... as you can see, it's all rainbows and candy canes down here. Oh, that made me laugh.
So you found Hades approachable, friendly, easygoing.
Not like the way I pictured him.
Agreed. Same, the god of the underworld. I expected someone with skulls and very big, almost like Ares size. And this guy was kind of smaller and just really friendly. Hey, you want some pomegranate juice? All right, what was your bad for this episode?
Percy in the car. It was too sad for me. I just could not handle it. That moment was just
in the beginning of the episode when his mom...
Yeah, it was just like, I don't know how to describe it. Just sad?
Okay, so you're talking about the flashback with Percy being pulled up to his mom. This was actually the scene that Hermes was referring to back in the Lotus Casino when he touched Percy's hand and he said, you know, we've all had times where we can't help but hurt each other and we can't stop it as parents. And he touched Percy's hand. And that's what this was a flashback to. And so what this is showing us is Percy's really thinking about that. And what you actually, Reese, you said you didn't want to watch this part again. You said it makes me too sad. Why did it make you too sad? What about this scene? Because I'm going to tell you, buddy, I appreciate that it was too sad for you. But they did that on purpose. They wanted you to feel things. Why, for you, as a 10-year-old, was this sad to watch?
It was just so emotional. Like, there was so much emotion going on. Like, Percy, like, yelling and saying, I will not go. It was just too much for me. And then all that tension building.
How did you feel about Sally in this scene?
I think she was having a kind of hard time with young Percy just saying, I will not do this. I am not going. He was acting stubborn. And I think she was just feeling a little overwhelmed.
Who do you think was right? Or was anyone right?
No.
No what?
I don't know. I don't think anyone was right in this.
Was this able to show what Hermes was talking about?
Yes.
How sometimes you can hurt the people you love and you have to make these difficult decisions? I agree. What was your great for this episode?
So my great, it was just like the exciting end with Ares coming up and he's like having this like 5-foot long sword in his hand, like pulling over his back, and at the base it had like two pairs of spikes, like one on one side and the other on one side, and there's two pairs of those. It was just cool looking, and like how the tension just built and built. Mm-hmm. And Percy just takes out his sword, and they just
We didn't see them fight, but you're saying you loved that really suspenseful cliffhanger ending. You enjoyed that. You're ready to see this. And of course, you're being a book reader. You know what is going to come. Well, it's time to delve into this episode. And as I said earlier, Reese, this episode had a lot of Greek myths that can go over non-book readers' heads like myself. I have not studied Greek mythology. I also have not read these books. So sometimes the trio say things or they meet people and it's said very quickly, but I know that there's more to it. And we start this episode with Percy going into a waterbed shop where he meets Procrustes. Who is Procrustes? We get told he's the murderer of travelers, a fellow son of Poseidon, which makes him Percy's half-brother. Talk about awkward. So, what is the myth about Procrustes?
So Procrustes was younger in the myth. He was in the peak of strength and happiness, and he really enjoyed murdering his guests with his beds. So in the myth...
No, in the ancient Greek myth.
Yeah,
do you know?
Okay. I know. And it mainly interferes with Theseus traveling back from Crete to Athens, and he met some pretty bad guys. And
well, where does Procrustes hang out?
I have no idea. They didn't
say.
Does
he hang out before the underworld? Does he guard the underworld a little
bit?
No,
he doesn't.
No,
he actually just hangs around somewhere out of nowhere. It's just
he just snatches up travelers. That's...
Yeah. So he also lures them with. Over, hospitality.
Oh.
In ancient Greece, hospitality was just everything to the Greeks.
Okay.
A wheelie traveler comes up to your house and asks for shelter and food, and you accept that offer. They respect your household and your rules.
Okay, so you were supposed to let people in, but he would trick them.
And that was a very good violation of Greek rule, of ancient Greek rule. Okay. He was a wanted criminal for that, and his trick was tricking people into the beds and using them to make it like him until Theseus came along and slayed him with his own bed.
Well, that's totally gross, and I love that they made them water beds. Water beds aren't necessarily popular right now, but back when I was a kid, this was a cool thing. It was a bed full of water, kind of like,
bouncy?
Bouncy, and it was encapsulated in this plastic thing. It was just like a big sack mattress truly filled of water, and you'd lay down, and you'd be able to rock and roll, and this was a big deal. Like, if your parents had a water bed, you would go and you'd tell everybody at school, and everyone thought it was really neat, but they're not really that popular anymore now.
What happened?
I think probably some popped. Probably people couldn't relax that well. And if you got into a bed with somebody else, the whole bed would just jiggle and shake and slosh everywhere. So I don't think they ended up being as wonderful as everyone thought they would. You know what weirded me out? What Procrustes said?
What?
He said, "You've got dad's eyes."
How do you know?
Well, because it's the same dad.
I know, but how do you know what he looks like?
Well, he probably has seen his dad in this show, we have to know that he believes that he has dad's eyes. And Percy and Annabeth trick him. Annabeth shoves him onto his own bed.
With a mattress, like, just wraps around him.
That's right. And the trio goes off into the back office. And you notice something about Grover at this point. What was Grover doing?
Picks his horns.
He was picking his horns. Why is he picking his horns? And
he gets
how would
nervous.
You relate that? Yeah. Remember back when that...
Back when in episode 2.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
He meets this wood nymph, maybe his mother, and she says, "You've been picking at your horns again."
And what would that be like me saying to you nowadays?
Stop biting your fingernails.
Yep. So we all have little nervous things that we do, whether it's words, whether we move, whether we bite our fingernails. And this is Grover's way of biting his nails and being nervous. And what's really neat is that Annabeth sees this. She doesn't say, "Hey, Grover, start picking. You're nervous." She can see it. She's been one of his good friends for a long time. And she gives him a squeaky ball. And a squeaky ball is kind of like a fidget toy for him, right? So she can just tell that he needs to busy his hands. He needs to do something because he's got a lot of extra energy. And at this point, it's probably anxious energy. And she can just tell. And she gives him that squeaky ball.
And until later... That ball is going to turn into a Super Versus Chew toy.
It's a good thing that she gave it to him, right? Because it does. It does turn out to be quite a useful distraction with Cerberus.
And
but before
can we get
they
to
get to before we get to the underworld, the trio each divvy up and take a pearl. Percy has two, and then we are put into Hollow Earth. And Percy says, "We're not in Kansas anymore." Do you know what that's in reference to?
No.
Okay. So Annabeth didn't know what it was in reference to. And young Percy, back in his car, remember his mom, she pulls up to the academy and she says, "We're not in Kansas anymore." And Percy goes, "Huh? She said, oh, I thought we watched that movie. You don't know what movie she's referring to?
No.
Do you remember The Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
So in The Wizard of Oz, which we've definitely watched The Wizard of Oz, probably not a ton of times, but we've watched it before, and we've also listened to Wicked, the musical. Dorothy is from Kansas. And that's where she has the tornado and it picks up the house with her little dog Toto. And when they land in Oz, she looks at Toto and she goes, we're not in Kansas anymore, because she realizes we're somewhere else. So it's a very common phrase when people realize they're in a very different environment. Like if you and I went to Antarctica, Reese, it would not be like how it is in Rhode Island. So we could say, ugh, we're not in Kansas anymore. So that was one of the things that Percy learned from his mom. And it kind of reminds him. And he's been thinking about his mom a lot since he left Hermes. And obviously, I mean, his mom's just been snatched from a Minotaur. So he's just been thinking about her a lot because they're heading to the underworld where she's taken. But I loved how Annabeth had no idea. And she goes, yeah, we were in Kansas four days ago. Get with it. They see Charon.
Let's get into the myth.
Who's Charon?
I have no idea, actually.
What?
I don't know Charon's myth.
You don't know the guy that takes you on a boat across the River Styx?
I know he does that. It's just, there's no myth about him. I don't know. It's like a mystery. We don't know how he began, how he started doing
that. But that's his job. That's who they're talking about. Yeah. That's who they can see. And so he's the one that's on that boat and takes the dead people to the underworld.
And he has this whistle that can summon...
Oh, the dog. But before we do, the kids go through the line, and it was pretty funny, that line, because you could think that it was kind of gross. All these people are dead. They're just waiting.
They didn't look dead.
They didn't look dead. They looked completely boring. They had elevator music, just like happy waiting music, and Percy's just cutting line. He's just pushing people out of the way, and he says, only suckers wait in line. You should spend more time with me in the city, because Grover feels bad. He feels bad that they're pushing everybody and cutting, and Percy says, only suckers wait in line. So I think that was neat. I like Percy's humor. Percy's able to bring humor even when he's in a sea of dead people.
I wait in lines.
And he goes up, and Charon says, kind of, you can't be here.
How does he know?
You're not dead.
How?
I mean, it's pretty obvious they're not dead. He says, you're not dead. And Percy says, well, we're all dying to some extent. And he says, and you haven't paid. So you're not dead and you haven't paid. They give him all the drachmas, and here he blows a whistle. And Percy says, here, you can have all the drachmas. Maybe you can buy yourself a new whistle.
And then we start hearing growling and roaring from behind maybe a portcullis.
Do you know why they couldn't hear the whistle, buddy?
Dog whistles sometimes.
Yes. Dog whistles are such a high pitch that humans can rarely hear it. It's very, very faint. But dogs, if you can hear it off. And that's when we get Cerberus. So tell us a little bit about Cerberus.
So Cerberus is one of the other children of Echidna and Typhon. He was...
Okay, so Echidna, the lady we met on the train.
Yeah.
And she had the...
Chimera.
Chimera.
Let's skip that.
Okay. So
they're basically half siblings. And
Cerberus is another one of Echidna's monsters.
And as a puppy, he was found by Hades all alone. This poor three-headed dog.
Aww.
Puppy. Like just sitting there, like in the middle of Greece, crying. And Hades decided to take him in under his wing and make him the guard dog of, like, the underworld, and he fed him quite a lot of big stuff because he turned into, like, twice the size of a woolly mammoth.
He's a giant, giant dog.
And I think he's a mastiff?
This one is based upon a Rottweiler. I think it was a cute-looking Cerberus, I'm not going to lie. But there's different iterations. There's different versions. This was actually the inspiration for Fluffy in Harry Potter. So we know that we had a three-headed dog who would be calmed down to music. And in this show, how does Cerberus get calmed down?
With pets.
With pets. After, of course, Cerberus eats Grover. We were shocked when we saw Cerberus running and just
looks at Grover.
Just gobbled him right up.
And left head.
And then Annabeth pets the dog. And how does she know how to pet the dog?
She had obedience school when she was still with her dad.
When she was with her dad. And I think this is a really interesting point,
I think,
buddy.
That's a regret.
Ooh, okay. I was just going to go into this. Why do you think this is her regret?
Because she thought of her father and that made her sad. And I think that's the reason. Thinking about that. She's like, I push that aside. And then she's like, oh my God, I can't move.
Yeah. So we delve into regret a lot in this episode. Percy probably has some regrets. His mother has some regrets. But Percy doesn't get rooted into this place. Annabeth definitely does. And I bet you her petting the dog.
I think it's big regrets.
Her petting the dog probably, yeah, reminded her. Because she comes on up and...
she's crying a bit.
And she kind of brushes it off and throws the dog ball.
And it goes right into the river Styx. And Cerberus just like chases it. And he does this like, just gums upward on his two legs. Then slants it back down and just keeps chasing the ball.
This is the first time that we also, not the first time, but this is another mention of Annabeth talking about her mortal father. We've learned a lot about her mother, who's Athena, and she's pushed Annabeth aside. But she's talking now kind of about a fond memory that she had with her mortal father. We get another flashback, and we're inside the school this time, buddy. And Sally Jackson is talking to the headmaster, and he's saying, hey, I know you're here, but we can't take your kid. He drew a winged horse, aka a Pegasus, and we've heard a lot of bad stuff about him, so you can't bring him here anymore. And how is Sally reacting?
No, you cannot. I have the application right here. And he's like, I'm sorry, have you suggested homeschool? She's like, homeschool? Like, mm-hmm. It's the worst thing in the world.
Why would it be the worst thing in the world?
It's unsafe for him in the city. There are, like, monsters following him, and that's when we go off.
Why do you think Sally didn't tell Percy this at that time? So Percy looks maybe 7 years old or so.
I don't know why. For safety? Like, the more he knew about monsters, the more monsters they attract. And with the scene of Poseidon, she says, when he grows up, there will not only be pretty things following him. Mm-hmm. As we could see in the first episode, we see like a bronze rhino, and that's kind of it, along with the Pegasus.
This bit where Sally calls upon Poseidon and burns the offering and gets to talk to him was one of the most emotional parts of the episode. I absolutely loved it, and we're going to delve into it more after this word from our sponsors. A sponsor for these episodes has been D&D Adventure Club, which is a monthly subscription of Dungeons & Dragons adventures built for beginners like myself. They are amazing stories and designed for kids, families, and honestly, anyone interested in starting a game of D&D. A new adventure arrives in your mailbox every single month. There's streamlined rules, there's an amazing design, pre-built characters, and truly it lets anyone pick up the game to start telling stories today. The thing with D&D Adventure Club is that you can truly immerse yourself in this game without being overwhelmed. If you are like me and are new to Dungeons & Dragons, there's a lot of rules, my friends, and you need someone to kind of hold your hand through it. And if you don't have a local group or a friend who knows how to play, it can be overwhelming. And if your kid is like Reese and wants to play and is interested inside this kind of a game, I'm here to tell you, D&D Adventure Club is where it's at. So you can go to their website and use the coupon code MARY20, that's MARY20, once again, MARY20, to get 20% off your first order. All right, so we were talking, buddy, about Sally Jackson talking with Poseidon, and she's telling him, I am so concerned. I don't know what to do. They don't want him at this school. I can't take him home.
And then she says, do you want to talk to him? Just hear his voice. And Poseidon just looks over and sees Percy in that painted glass window. And he's like, I'll be there for him when he's ready. Do you like that?
It hurt my heart, Reese. It hurt my heart when that happened. She said, do you want to just speak to him just so you can hear his voice? Before Poseidon came in, what was the weather when Sally was sitting
sunny.
With yep when Sally was sitting with Percy and he has his little sundae. If you look outside the windows, they're sunny, they're bright, there's light coming through. And then Sally goes to the counter, does her little burnt offering, and immediately
thundering and rain.
Yep, tons of rain, and you see the light from the windows change. And so we of course hear the rain, and we understand that Poseidon's able to come in with the rain. There wasn't any thunder yet. The thunderclap actually happened when Poseidon turned to go look at Percy. And I thought that this was really interesting because Poseidon, of course, understandably, we get the rain, but thunder isn't Poseidon's thing. Thunder is Zeus's thing.
Yeah.
So maybe why would Poseidon hear the thunderclap and be afraid to go talk to Percy?
Because Zeus saying, brother, don't do it.
Yes. So think about that. He's sitting next to Sally. She's saying, please just go meet your son. Go.
And he may be thinking that, like, I just want to see my kid for a minute.
Yep.
And Zeus is like, don't do it, brother.
Yep.
Don't do it.
So these are these little things that, as phrases, you blink and you miss it. Go back and watch that scene. You're going to see the lighting change. You're going to hear the rain. And there's no thunder until Sally says, please go meet your son. Go listen to his voice. And he turns as if maybe he will. Maybe he will go finally see Percy. And the thunderclap happens. And I think that this is such an interesting, beautiful way that it's letting us know almost subconsciously that something is holding him back. But like you said, Reese, we get that voiceover of when he's ready. One day I will meet this kid. And that's, of course, how we end the episode. But let's get back to being haunted, haunted by regrets. I think everyone has regrets.
Especially me.
I'm talking about in the show. We all as humans also have regrets, buddy. Everybody does. It's part of being mortal, part of being human. But I'm talking about the trio. What do you think Grover might regret?
Picking out his horns.
Well, that's a little regret, but maybe what happened with Talia?
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
What could be something that Percy regrets?
Being mad at his mom.
Yeah, yelling at his mom. And what do you think Sally regrets?
Being not by Percy's side all the time.
Yeah. Can the gods regret things?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that...
I think Poseidon's is like, I want to see my kid. My brother won't let me. Mm-hmm. And I'm really sad about that. I regret not doing it. I should have just went with my own self. If the gods, and Emma says, with the gods, you know what to do. But Poseidon is a god, but he can do what he wants. And why do you let your younger brother tell you what to do? He's your younger brother.
What can you tell me about the Asphodel fields? Do you know anything else more about that? Or do you know what was just explained in the episode?
Asphodel? It's supposed to be like for the people in the underworld who didn't really do anything good or bad in their life. It's just nothing. And they are haunted by regrets and rooted to their spots. Mm. I think it's like just like men like just won't move. Mm. I didn't think it actually meant like rooted.
Yeah.
And I think these trees are actually once used to be people.
That would be wild, right? Because they're in a forest. So to see all those other trees, maybe they were people. It reminds me a little bit about Thalia, about how she's a tree.
She didn't have regrets, though.
Well, maybe she did, right? We haven't gotten to meet her in the show, but it just was interesting to me that as Thalia was turned into a tree, Annabeth now started to get some roots and be turned into a tree. While Annabeth is being rooted, Percy and Grover go on off, and Grover's shoes start to do something absolutely crazy. Now, remember, these shoes were originally from Hermes. Hermes gave them to Luke. Grover's wearing these shoes, and his shoes are taking him off, trying to pull him into this ginormous pit, which we find out is Tartarus.
And who's in Tartarus?
Thank goodness, Kronos. Oh, my gosh. Reese, I am so grateful that you told us a few episodes back the story of Kronos that Ares quickly told us, being the fact that he is Poseidon and Hades and Zeus's dad, and he ate all these kids and he's crazy and they chopped him up into a million pieces and threw him into Tartarus. But that is the hole that Percy realizes someone down there has been talking to him and has been calling to him. And the shoes fly down to Tartarus. And that's when Percy realizes he's got a giant lightning bolt in his bag.
Yeah, the master bolt. Can I have a few words on that?
Oh my gosh, please do.
And so I think the looks of the Master Bolt are actually pretty good. Like, there's a clear wall on each side of the Master Bolt, and I thought I saw little sparks of lightning inside.
You could hear it, too. That sounded like a little bit of electricity inside.
I saw, like, little flashes of it in the clear metal, and I think that was good animation. I loved it.
I can't believe that Percy's been walking around with this lightning bolt in his bag and couldn't feel it. That thing looked heavy.
No. He just felt it.
Okay,
like just
it was
now.
Just in that moment.
He felt that lots of times with that bag, and yep. I hear no clang.
But you're right. Now that clang is there. It's showing on up. I thought it was very interestingly made.
Near Tartarus. Near Tartarus.
It makes, you could see how it's a bit, you could see how it could be held. It wasn't what you would think of as just a regular lightning bolt. It was something. And you've talked about in the past how Poseidon, his weapon is a
trident.
A trident. Hades talks about his helm. I thought it was interesting that they didn't call it a crown. You know, he says, my helm, the thing that makes me invisible, and you guys stole it. So the helm is this crown, and we see it in the ending of the show when they show us all the different gods, and we have the music of Percy Jackson. So it is, it's that crown kind of thing that he's referred to as his helm. And now we have the lightning bolt. So they go on over, and they make a really interesting decision right now. Percy pulls at the lightning bolt, and Grover and he realize, we're done. We did it. We have the master bolt. Yes, we missed the deadline, but we've got it. Let's go give it to Zeus. Bada bing, bada boom. War is over. But they don't go to Zeus. Instead, they make the choice to go to Hades because they realize we're right here. It is time to still try to save Percy's mom, Sally. And Grover even says, he's like, let's go save your mom. Zeus can wait. And they go on in to the Obsidian Palace and they meet Hades.
I like the look of Hades. Like, he just came off charming. He could have came off like an evil bad guy with bad guy music in the background, but he came off good.
Well, think about it. We've been seeing this person in Percy's dreams, kind of with the cloaks. You've talked about how this person has looked a little bit like a Dementor. He knows how to big, scary voice and with all this flowing stuff. And instead, we've gotten just a guy just walking around in a, you know, tight suit. Very kind of cool, like you said, really charismatic attitude. He says, are you hungry? Do you want some pomegranate juice? What did that mean, pomegranate juice? That was a really, just very specific thing to say.
The pomegranate is actually the fruit of the underworld.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's because of the myth of Persephone. Should I do that myth?
We'll probably meet Persephone at some point.
No, we don't.
Not in this episode.
It's summer, remember?
Oh, what do you mean?
Because
the summer solstice just happened. So Persephone.
No. Wait, here you go. So the myth of Persephone is short story that Hades kidnapped her from her mother Demeter, and Demeter got all angry and sad. So she stopped working her godly duty as goddess of agriculture and harvest, and the crops began to die. Aww. And Zeus decided to get Persephone back and give her back to her mother. Hermes did the deal, but Persephone did not want to leave. She's like, no,
she loved Hades.
Yeah, she's like, I'm good down here. And then a few days later,
it's all rainbows and candy canes down
but
here.
But then things started to get worse, and things just began.
The crops just kept
and
dying.
Humans, to another extent, began dying. Mm. And Hermes is like, and Zeus is like, okay, we got to do this seriously. Hermes, get her by force, with your hands, with your caduceus.
Okay. And so Hermes rescues Persephone from Hades.
Hermes says, okay, Demeter, Persephone, you gotta go back to your mother. Humans are getting killed up here. Now you, and she's like, oh, now I know why there's so many dead people down here more. And
because they're starving and frozen.
And then Hades comes in and says, okay, Persephone, before you go, have these pomegranate seeds. She eats a few of them, and you know what happens when you eat food from the underworld?
No, I don't.
You never got out again.
Oh.
And she ate them, but she only ate two small ones.
Okay.
And she goes out.
She goes back up out of the underworld.
Goes into Mount Olympus, and Zeus is like, good job. You did the right thing. And she does not like being treated like a little kid who was on a temper tantrum.
Okay.
And then they just decide to call it a compromise. Mm-hmm. Demeter would only spend
Demeter,
time with
who's in charge of the crops.
Yes. Yeah, so half the year, known as spring and summer, Demeter and Persephone would live together on the top of the land at the tip-top peaks of Mount Olympus and all the surrounding communities.
Henceforth, crops will flourish. When Persephone is up north, or
flowers will bloom, everything goes green, but in the winter,
when Persephone goes and hangs out with her love Hades,
things just begin dying. Snow starts to fall. It goes icy cold. That is winter. And
what's interesting is that when we watch this episode and Percy and Grover were walking into Hades' castle, essentially, Felicity, your sister, said, oh my gosh, I can't wait to hear Persephone. I can't wait to see her. And you knew right away, you said, she's not going to be there because the summer solstice just passed, which means Persephone is above ground. She's not in the underworld right now. So that's really awesome, buddy. And thank you for telling us that if you drink pomegranate juice, you'd most likely
have
to stay.
And food from the dead.
Yeah, you'd have to stay down. Which
it's like, okay, you ate the food. You're staying down here. Good luck. Survive.
The boys, Percy and Grover, are saying, okay, we've got your bolt. Give me my mom back. Hades says, I don't want your bolts. Let's do this deal. Give me back my helm. And now they're putting two together that it wasn't Hades.
It was Kronos.
That it was Kronos all this time.
But what about his minion? Who was the minion?
Who stole the helm? All these different things. And Percy is faced with a choice. Hades, in this moment, says, listen, man, if Kronos has been talking to you in dreams, if Kronos has been trying to recruit you, you're in trouble. And I am more than happy to protect you. Give me the bolt. You can hang out here with your mom. We'll bippity boppity boo her back. Heck, I'll throw in the goat for free. The goat can stay with us too. But that's going to be the deal. You stay down here in the underworld and I will protect you. And this, really, I think, was a really big deal. Remember, the big three are not supposed to have kids. The big three are
like, they're like, okay, we're free guys. We're just going to do our stuff.
And Hades, especially, he just told us he doesn't get involved in Poseidon and Zeus's business. And yet he's saying, I will protect you, Percy Jackson.
Maybe he already broke the pact.
And yeah, I will protect you. I will protect your mom. I'll protect your goat friend.
This guy's really nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that I expected Hades to be more like Ares, I guess. And so for Hades to say he'll protect him, and when Percy and Grover say, why do you want the bolt now? Why does he say he wants the bolt? Because in the beginning, he didn't want it.
He doesn't want it. He says, I need it. I don't want it.
Yeah, why does he need it?
To fight Kronos if he's coming back.
This made me think that Hades is afraid of his dad, that he's afraid of Kronos because he didn't want anything to do with the Master Bolt. But now that he knows his dad is communicating that his dad might be coming back, he wants whatever weapon he can get his hands on, including this Master Bolt, which is right here. I am shocked because I really thought Hades was going to be scary and mean and selfish like Ares. And yet here he is saying, oh gosh, you're talking to my dad? That's bad news. Whatever weapons you have, I want them. And you know what? You can
stay
here.
Protect.
You could stay with your mom. You could stay with your goat. What did you think of this? Because you two said that you were surprised with how Hades was shown in this show. I think I like Hades.
I think right now when you say that, I'm like, I think of like red core alert, evacuate the deadland, evacuate.
Yes.
And then I think of Hades as a really generous man. In the myth, it doesn't portray him that generous, but now I think of him as this really generous guy who cares about what he has for his job. And I think this would happen when Kronos rises from the underworld and starts attacking the underworld. He'd be like, okay, guys, you need to evacuate this area.
Is Tartarus, so Tartarus is the giant hole thing.
Could arise.
Is Tartarus in the underworld, or is it? Okay. Oh gosh. Yeah. I would want to protect myself too if I were Hades. So I'm just excited about this. I hope he can melt Percy's mom. I kind of wanted him to melt her to be human form just a little bit so they could maybe hug. But you know what's really interesting, Bun? Is in this episode, we got to see Sally Jackson make a very difficult decision where she had to choose to leave Percy. She doesn't want to put him in this academy. She's afraid for him because there's scary things out there, but she knows that this is the right thing to do. Percy could have given the bolt to Hades, and Hades would have given him his mom. Right then and there.
Wouldn't that be a war starting thing? And just like,
There's already a war coming. There's already a war coming. Percy could have had his mom right then and there. No questions asked. Here you go. Here's the bolt. Here's your mom.
But Percy doesn't want war. He's like, I love my mom, but right now I need to deliver this bolt back.
Why?
I'll give you a deal. I'll get your helm back. Mm-hmm. You can give me back my mom. I'll have the bolt to Zeus and things will be fine.
Because he has to do the right thing. Just like his mom had to do the right thing.
And
even though they had to leave each other, even though it was painful, sometimes doing the right thing does cause pain to people for a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. A lot of really intense things happen in this episode. They have the pearls. They go back. They're on the water. And like you said, the trio gets up. And who do they see?
Ares
with his giant sword. Oh, my gosh.
In this leather duster.
What?
In his leather duster. His
leather coat.
And I saw finally, in the end of this, I saw that leather at the bottom where the wheels might be is kind of brown burned.
Oh, because you were talking about how if you rode a motorcycle with that long coat, it would have gotten burned?
Yeah, I think they were a little burned, but they're not.
Okay, well, we definitely left off on a cliffhanger, like you said, buddy. Lots of emotions, and you can see the humanity in all of this. I don't like any of the gods right now. I like Annabeth.
I like Hades.
I like Hades. Hades is which is pretty sad.
He's actually the first god that we've seen is nice.
Yeah, and I feel a little bit for Poseidon, but I still am not the biggest Poseidon fan just yet. Okay. Hades, I'm a fan of. Grover, I'm a fan of, and I'm actually warming up to Annabeth. I feel like she just needs a big hug and maybe some snacks and maybe a dog. Hey, because a dog can help a lot of people.
Maybe she can keep Cerberus for a while.
Yeah, you know, not a bright puppy. All right, buddy, it is time for our listener feedback. Kicking things off in studio is Felicity, who she believes her godmother as a demigod would be Athena, thanks to arts and crafts. So Felicity, what is your GBG, your good, your bad, your great for this episode?
So my good is that I've never seen Hades then other than the theories of every single Greek myth that I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And my bad
is that... So what is Hades usually portrayed as in the other Greek myths and the other ways you've portrayed him?
In the other Greek myths, he's described as gloomy, he's mean, he is just very not a bright person.
Oh, okay. And so you thought that this was a very different description and you liked this version of Hades?
Yeah.
What was your bad for this episode?
My bad is that Percy has to find Zeus's master bowl and he has to give a helmet for Hades for his mom.
He has two new things. So he has to go find something else. He just went all this way to find the bolt. Now he has the bolt. He has to go give it to Zeus, who's on the other side of the country. And now he has to go find something else? Ugh, he's got a lot of work, huh? There's only one more episode to do it. And what is your great for this episode?
My great is the chat that Sally had with Poseidon.
Why is that your great? What was so important to you in that chat?
It was just important to me because this is how I feel like when Dad and you are trying to discuss something,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to agree on something, and yeah.
So you just thought it was a really neat way to see two adults and two parents discuss something that's tough and difficult about a kid?
Yep.
How did it make you feel? What did that conversation make you feel?
It made me feel happy and sad.
Wow, complication, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, City. Our next listener feedback is from Rachel.
Hi, Reese. Hi, Mary. This is Rachel from Colorado. I am calling about the Percy Jackson series. I'm really enjoying it so far. You guys are helping kind of break down what's happening in a great way that's very accessible. So keep up the good work. Reese, I'm also equally impressed with your knowledge of different Greek myths, and is helping me relearn things that that I love as well. I read these books a long time ago with my little brother, and so we've been rewatching the series together, and it's been awesome. I love Greek myths and Roman myths so much that I studied that in college, and so I hope that this can spark a lifelong passion for you to learn about all things ancient Greece, ancient Rome. So keep up the good work, and you guys are awesome. Thanks. Bye.
Isn't that so cool, buddy, that when you grow up, whether it's in high school or in college, you can actually study Greek myths and all of this different mythology for classes, like full classes, not just a little bit in social studies or English class, but that could be your entire semester, could be on a class on Greek mythology. What would you think about that?
It would be awesome. It would be so amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
So cool. I love that. Thank you so much for calling in, Rachel. And here is our next listener feedback.
Hey, Reese. This is Maureen calling from Scotland about Percy Jackson and the Olympians, episode 7. I really liked this episode. My GBGs are that my good was using the squeaky toy to distract Cerberus. I thought that was funny and smart on Annabeth's part. My bad was the cinematography in this episode because it was really dark to the point that I wondered if either my TV was not working properly or I needed to go to the eye doctor.
Yep.
I think what happened is that it was shot in a way that was just too dark, and then they tried to fix it in post-production, but the computer wizards did not manage to make it look okay. And so it ended up really looking sometimes almost blurry, especially when the characters were moving. But then my great was that we finally got to meet Poseidon, and I really like the actor who plays him. His name is Toby Stevens. And Reese, if you don't know that, here's a fun fact for you. He, in real life, he is the son of Maggie Smith, who played Professor McGonagall in the Harry Potter series. So there's that. One last thing, Reese, I think you're doing a tremendous job on this podcast, and I think it's really exciting that you get to do it with your mom. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you so much, buddy. You got a nice, fun caller from Scotland. And so did you understand what Marie just said? She said,
"You're a wizard, Harry."
That the actor who portrays Poseidon is the son of the actress who portrays Professor McGonagall.
No way.
Yes. Fandoms collide yet again. And she also talked about how it was difficult to see in the dark scenes because it was for us too. It was for us too. So for those of you who do watch Percy Jackson in the daylight, know that we feel your pain. Well, thank you so much for everyone who called in. For those of you who want to call in for the finale, the final episode, you can do that by going to maryandblake.com and click the upper right hand corner for contact us. And you can use the speak pipe feature. You can also send us an email, maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. You can either write us your response or send us a recording of the voicemail there as well. We want to get as many listener feedbacks as possible, as for next episode is going to be the final coverage of the first season of Percy Jackson. Exactly. All right, buddy. It's time for the Mere Mortal Theory of the Week. All right. Let's see. Oh, I don't even know. I'm trying to like pull up the voice. Hi. The voice sound. Here we go. My Mere Mortal Theory of the Week. Oh, gosh. I don't even know what ocean they're on.
Maybe the coast of the Atlantic or the Pacific.
Well, yeah, it's got to be one of those. At least I'd hope so. I hope they're not like in a different ocean. My Mere Mortal Theory of the Week is that we saw Percy against Ares. Obviously, we know that there's going to be an epic fight. I think Percy is going to find the helm and return it to Hades and get his mother. I do believe he's going to be able to do that. I do think he's going to be able to see Poseidon. I think the time is right for him to see his dad finally. I don't think Sally is going to see Poseidon. However, that's my Mere Mortal Theory of the Week, that Percy will see him, but that Sally won't, and that he'll find the helm, and all will be well, because that's how I like things to end out for different shows. I like happy endings. We want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Percy Jackson Prophecy with myself and Reese. If you have not yet shared this episode, you can do that. You can tell a friend, you can tell another classmate. Another way you can do it is if you are on social media, to take a screenshot of the podcast and share it in your stories, Instagram stories, let people know about it, if in a Facebook post, and include the link so that they can tune in and listen. Sharing via a recommendation or word of mouth truly is the best way for other people to learn about the podcast. And this being Reese's first podcast that you've co-hosted, it's been such a big deal, buddy. How do you feel with there being just one episode left?
Shocking.
Shocking. Why?
It's just like all of it. It's just too, it's going too fast. I'm like, I cannot keep up.
I know. The finale is almost here, so we're really excited to delve into it. And like we talked about before, we'll be also going over the books after this TV season has ended. Until next time, Half-Bloods, I'm Mary Larson.
My name is Reese.
And remember,
hold fast and brave the storm.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.